Okay. Well, Annie's away, so it's me here today. I got a prize at school for poetry. See, Annie's away, it's me here today. So, I've put around somewhere on your tables, there should be some pens, and there should be some pieces of paper, which is basically a summary of where we're going today. If you haven't got any, if you can't lay your hands on some paper a little bit, there should be some. There's a few more here. And if you find small print difficult, then there's some big print here. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a little, what we do actually once a month is we have what we call Prayer Sunday. And Annie and I, we're trying to share an aspect of prayer to encourage us in our prayer lives. So I want to tell a story to start with. About 3 years ago, I remember speaking here, and we put out a little challenge to think of five people in our lives who we could pray for. Five people. And we suggested that one could be a neighbor, one could be someone who we work with, one could be someone, for example, who had experienced a very traumatic time, was having a bad time at that stage of their life. One could be someone who, to one's knowledge, didn't believe in the Lord. And one could be something else. I can't remember what it was. I can always guarantee there'll be a little giggle from you, Christy. And so the idea was to say, it was an idea that had been given to Annie and I by a guy called Roy Godwin from the Faldbrendan community. And he said, why don't you try this? Just try. Just ask the Lord to show you. I think it was five people. And so I did it. And I had a neighbor literally directly next to my house. And I knew that God had said to me, when I literally listened, I said, Lord, put people, we were in a situation here, it was just like this, and we're going to do this a little bit later on. Just said, Lord, would you pop into my head someone who fits those categories? And this particular person came into my head, and it was my neighbor. Now, what I knew of my neighbor at that time, where Annie and I knew, was of lots of swearing, lots of drug abuse, lots of anger, physical fights, police being called regularly, basically it wasn't the easiest of scenarios. That was my neighbor right next to me. Rats on our community, sorry, in our property, rats, because the place was not very well kept. And so there were rats everywhere. And I also knew that in the community, this person was, shall we say, not very liked. But it was that person who I heard that name put in my head here about 3 years ago. So it wasn't easy, but I knew that Father God, my father and their father, as in my neighbor, God who loves them just as much as loves me, was saying, hey, this is the one I want you to. I want you to start praying for. So with fear and trepidation, I started a journey of regularly going next door and listening over cups of tea, endless cups of tea, to the scenario they were in. They were in grief as well because their mother had died, and I took part in the funeral service. And so for 2 years, all we got, I got, was the anger at. So I went around, I'd go and have regular cups of tea. And when I say regular, I'd say probably about once a month. Go around. And it was like non-stop. I got in there and it was just like non-stop volley of everything wrong. And it wasn't difficult to know that what the Spirit of God was saying is pray forgiveness. May the Spirit of forgiveness begin to move. So prayer is not rocket science. It's asking the Father. And I knew the Spirit of forgiveness was good because it says it in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. So I knew, quite simply, there needed to be forgiveness. So the prayer was for 2 years of cups of teas and rantings. May forgiveness come into that family. During that time, there were attempts. I tried to help with the thing I knew was the issue is there was infighting over the will. And what I could see that unless something happened, £200,000 was going to be wasted through the infighting. And no one from the family was going to get anything. And I was determined that the lawyers, I love lawyers, if you're a lawyer, I think you're lovely. But I was determined that the lawyers were not going to get a penny. Not a penny. As a result of the dispute. Because I wanted this person and the family to have the money that was due theirs, rather than wasted away by employing lawyers. And some money was wasted. Some. But after about 2 years, must have been 3 years. No, 2 years. It must have started, the year before. Because in 2016, there was an event here, April 2016. And my neighbor came to the event. It was one where Arnold Mwangi came with the children's choir. And she came. And it was a wonderful evening. And she was so generous that evening. And I saw the real person. That evening I saw the real person. Before I'd just seen the anger. I saw the generosity. They came and they gave money to the children's choir. That's the real person. You know when you got a tree? This is a tree. And you got a lot of ivy wrapped around. The tree is the trunk here. The ivy is all the crap that's come on top. You take the ivy off, the tree's beautiful. And so I saw the real person. Then after about, whatever it was, 2.5 years of cups of tea, and I mowed the lawn. I just did kind of what I would do, just did practical things. Oh, yeah, I'll mow your lawn, do this, do that. After about 2.5 years, the person said to me, Silas, what would you do? 2.5 years of listening, receiving the rants, and feeling like when I got back next door, 2.5 years. Then there was the question, what would you do? I knew the kingdom was coming then. Something was happening. Fast forward. The family have all got their inheritance. The property's been sold. The person was able to go for the first time to have a rest. And there's no more shouting. And the gospel, in a very, very simple way, has been lived out. Because forgiveness came next door. Now, some of you are waiting for, did she become a Christian? I'm not talking about that. But I believe that the Lord worked because the kingdom of God came. The kingdom of God came. The kingdom of God came. And the spirit of forgiveness is the agenda of the kingdom of God. Yeah? So, how do we pray to see the kingdom come? You'll hear from that story is that I'm not saying it comes fast. It doesn't. Doesn't necessarily come fast. But it comes when you hear his agenda. All of us are here and we've arrived. Well, that's fairly obvious, isn't it? All of us are here. But when we came here this morning and we sat down, probably sat here, you probably had in your minds the concerns of ABC, XYZ, LMNOP. And that's what was controlling your mind. And then I said, let's worship. The kingdom of God comes in a way that we can understand it when we're able to come out of ABC, XYZ, LMNOP. Ben, I've only just asked you, but could you draw a picture of a balloon, a hot air balloon, on the surface? Start it here. I want to have three pictures overall. So one here, and this is the land. So on the land, before it's gone up in the balloon festival. So here is the hot air balloon. There. Thank you very much. Round of applause. Here's your first scripture. Habakkuk 2, 1 to 3. There was an issue. Habakkuk, okay, is on page, in your green Bible, if you've got the green Bibles, I've written it down here somewhere. Yeah, if you've got these green Bibles, these ones, here, these ones, it's page 712. Habakkuk, it's the end of the, near the end of the Old Testament. First thing in prayer, settle down. You can't pray if you haven't settled down. You won't get anywhere. You have to settle down. It says in Habakkuk 2, he went, in effect, verses 1 to 3, and I'm leaving these, so I'm not going to go into the whole detail of it, okay? The gist of it is Habakkuk went to a place and he settled down. And then because he wanted an answer. He had a complaint. He had a complaint. So it's all right having a complaint. But he settled down and he turned his ear to the Lord. Okay, so the first thing is we settle down. Secondly, Philippians 4, 6 to 7 talks about the importance of thankfulness. I would suggest to you, can you draw the second picture? I would suggest to you, we'll have the kind of about there. It is thankfulness, and we're going to worship a bit more in a minute. It is thankfulness and praise that is the heat that begins to get the balloon up. If you stick in the problems of A, B, C, X, Y, Z, L, M, N, O, P, you'll never get your balloon off the ground. when you're praying. You'll never get it off the ground. And you'll have another prayer time that didn't work, in inverted commas. Feels like nothing happened. Thankfulness and praise begins to lift you up. So if I've sat here among you guys, and one of you has said a story, and we're all going, oh dear, that's terrible. Dear me. Gosh. Could God possibly have an answer there? Oh, flip. And your problem. Oh, goodness me. Oh, dear. Getting more and more depressed, sitting with Christians. Oh, and they died? Oh, no. You see, that's the reality. We all have those stories. But as we begin to thank, which is what Scripture says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, we begin to come up a little bit. And prayer happens, you pray from heaven down. You can't pray from the earth to the earth. You have to come up. And you survey the scene from up here, which is why in Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 21, it talks about where we are. It talks about, now you need to go away and read these scriptures, because what I'm saying is all there in the scriptures. It talks about the authority you and I have when we're up there. And Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. So you pray from above. So the hot air, our praises takes us there, but then here, once we're up there, one more balloon, and inside the balloon in the basket, there are three people. Who's in the basket? Scriptures tells us. Who is in the basket? Jesus, God the Father, and not the one I was looking for. Jesus, the Father, and who? Us. We are... Sorry, that sounds so rude. Us. Why do I say us? Someone read Ephesians 2 verse 6, please.
For he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. All because we are one with Christ Jesus.
Thank you. So Jesus was initially raised from the dead, yeah? He was raised. And he's seated with the Father right now. But if we've died in Christ, which if you've become a Christian, that's what's happened, you are also up there. You're up there. You're here and you're there. But you can't pray effectively unless you pray from there. Because you're consumed by what's happening here. The problem's here. You have to come up. And isn't this extraordinary? We're seated with God the Father, his Son Jesus, who is seated at his right hand, and we're there as well. You and me. Isn't that amazing? Have you heard this before? Not many nodding heads. Have you heard this before?
Yes.
It is in the Living Free course. But do you know when you go to pray every time, do you experience being up there and seeing things? If you do, I might as well go home now. I'm quite happy to, I'll go back but I don't think everyone does. It's a matter of confidence. So, we're seated with Christ. Up there, Matthew 6 verse 10, is the part of the Lord's Prayer. Do read that out.
May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven.
Thank you. So, when we're up here with the Father, the Son, we're sitting with them for their agenda. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. Dom is from the Latin word domus, which means home. So may your kingdom, in other words, everything that is designed, the kingdom of heaven, may that come on earth as it is up here. So I go up to hear what is the desire of the Lord, and then I go down. But I have to listen up here. I have to listen. Habakkuk, he said, I listened. I've added another scripture, 1 Chronicles 14. When David was fighting, he inquired of the Lord. What David had done, he'd gone up. And he said, what should we do today? And he said, beat the Philistines up. And he said, okay, I'll do that. Okay, you got a slight terminology. Don't worry, that's Old Testament. Okay, but that's what happened. A few months later, Philistines came back, and it said, so David inquired of the Lord again. Each time we listen, because there's a different strategy. If we think, I know how to do this, we just become religious. There's a difference between religious, just following rules, and following him. It's very different. Because if I just think, I run a course and I say, right, okay, it worked really well, let's do exactly the same thing next time. No. The Father has got a plan for every day. His plan for me 3 years ago, when he said about the kingdom, he said, there were five names given to me. You'll notice that I haven't mentioned the other four. Because they weren't the ones. The Lord said, this one. Work on this one. Now, I didn't know it at the time. I'm telling you from my diary and from what I've looked back on and reflected on from 4 years. At the time, I hadn't a clue what was going on. But I did have a word. The word was, hang out with your neighbor. Did I want to do that? No. Love. And so what happens then is, imagine this, you go up here, you hear, then you come back down to earth, and you do what you heard the Father saying. And then as you do what you hear the Father saying, in this little bit, start into seeding, Ezekiel 22 verse 30, it says, the Lord just sought someone to stand in the gap on behalf of the land. The Lord needed me to stand in the gap on behalf of my neighbor. Otherwise, 200 grand would have gone down the tube. It would have. I interceded, which means you pray in between. Inter means between. Between two warring parties, you stand in between. That's my job on earth. That is my job on earth, to see the kingdom come. And then you watch what happens on earth and you follow your nudges. So I thought, oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I will go for another cup of coffee or tea. I think something's happening here. But it did take 2.5 years before I began to see it. But I just kept on feeling, go and have a cup of tea, go and have a cup of tea, go and have a cup of tea. Do I have to listen to more of this? How many of you in families, and you go to places, and you hear the same old story again and again and again and again, and you think, what am I doing here? Well, have you asked a different question? Why don't you ask a different question? Lord, what are you doing in my family? Rather than saying, well, it never worked. Ask him what his agenda is for you. Let's worship now. And we're going to sing two songs. And they're specifically chosen. And then after the songs, after them, as you are, literally as you are, ask your Father in heaven what he wants to say to you. Just ask him what he wants to say. And the purpose of the two songs we've chosen is to see whether we can, through the songs, come up a bit, knowing who he is, and we come up, and then when we're there, it's easier to hear. Because if you stay here, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, L, M, N, O, P are still hammering into you. You won't be able to hear through the noise of the earth. Come above. And I'll say, right, now let's listen. You've all got pieces of paper. You don't have to consult necessarily. Just say, Lord, show me, where are you working? Okay, let's do it. Life, which is the thing that you can't see through, you can't see beyond it. So for me, for my parents, they are losing control of their faculties, and so it is hard for them. And so this is how I pray. Father, I exalt you over everything that in the natural seems impossible. I exalt you, Father, over mum and dad's illnesses. I exalt you over the things that seem impossible for them. Having to share their home with carers who they don't know. And everything that comes up. But I exalt you over that. For you have a way. So let's sing that again. We exalt you. And I'm encouraging you, if something comes into your mind, you're thinking, I can't sing this yet because there's this issue. Well, sing over that issue. Sing over it. I exalt you, Father, over that impossible situation. But you're not going to get anywhere if you don't actually sing it. When I say sing it, you have to declare it, because you're declaring that God is more powerful than the situation. Okay, let's sing it one more time. Because he was raised, you too, if you're in Christ, you too are raised. And you are seated with him and with the Father in the heavenly places, and you're looking down on earth. And so now, there's a simple question to pray. And it's a question. You just say, Father, what is your agenda? Would you show us, show it to me now? Through my life, would you show me your plan on earth? And just wait there in the silence. Father, in the same way we do in original design prayer and freedom prayer, would you now pop into our minds the name of a person or a situation or whatever? Show us. How you want to partner with us to bring your kingdom here on earth. Let's just wait there in this quiet. and you've got bits of paper and pen. And as you hear something, write it down. Encourage you, don't try to go into your own head on analysing the thing that's come into your mind. Take that thing that's come into your mind . Okay, so why don't we we're sitting with people. Let's have a couple of minutes just sharing what you had. Question back. Just for a moment. Okay, it's 12:05. And I just want to do a little summary. I don't know what happened as you met, but what I would encourage you to do is whatever the Lord placed, whatever thing he placed in your mind, if he did, at that time, ask him to confirm that. Ask him to confirm it. It could have just been a random thought, but our testimony here as a church is that it's not often that it is just random thoughts. But it could be. So you test it. The way to test a word is to act on it and see what happens. Because even though when I acted on that word and went next door to my neighbor, even though I got hit with a whole load of stuff, I then said to the Lord, I said, well, what's going on? And I heard, the issue here is unforgiveness straight away. So it was like with a fish. I was hooked straight away. What kept me going for those 2.5 years was because I was hooked. And then I saw it come. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Tarry a while. And if it appears, if the fulfillment of the word appears to take a long time, do not worry. It will surely come. We haven't got time to hear it, but if you ever had the opportunity to take Nigel out for a cup of coffee, he's gone. But he's over there. Nigel was over there. He's got an incredible story of reconnecting with his daughter, and it took about 10 years. But he has done. And he can tell you bit by bit. It can take that time. Okay? So take the word you had, ask God, say, if that was you, I'll act on it. So you heard up here, and then you come down in the balloon, because we live on earth as well, and then you act it out on earth, and then see. And come back in a month's time and testify. Okay? Father, if I've been talking, anything that I might have said, if it was out of alignment with you, please, I just pray that anything like that would not get in the way. But I thank you, Father, that you are teaching us and increasingly have taught us how to bring your kingdom. So we say, may your kingdom come and may your will be done in this city. And help us to look beyond just what's in the natural. Help us to go up and to pray from above and then to see your kingdom come in this city of Bristol. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the end of the morning. Lovely jubbly.